Women are changing hockey, and we are here to talk about it. This is Chell Chit Chat, and I am your host, Liz Hood. Today's episode of How to Use Social Media to Tell Meaningful Stories is a really exciting one and serves as a super important resource for anyone who is looking to break into the world of content creation in hockey. I am joined by Kaylee Sibley from Sportsnet, and there is no one more qualified to talk about the growth of social in the hockey industry, so it's going to be a super exciting conversation. Social media is such a powerful tool that holds so much influence in today's day and age. So Kaylee's going to come on and talk with me about how social is used in hockey to grow relationships with players, relationships with teams, and the impact that good social can have. And then we're also going to talk a little bit about how you can sort of break into the world of content creation if you're interested in working in social, if you want to build your hard skills, your soft skills in social, and all that fun stuff. I am so glad that you're here for episode 6 with Kaylee Sibley. So without further ado, let's talk about how to use social media to tell meaningful stories in hockey. Welcome to Chell Chit Chat, Kaylee. I'm so psyched to have you on today for episode 6. I'm really excited about this one. The marketing girlies are going to kind of have a sit down and talk about all things socials, all things hockey, which is something you and I both adore. How are you doing today? How are things with you?
Pretty good. Thanks for having me. I'm super excited to chat about it. But yeah, good day. Good Monday to start the week. A little busy, but not too bad.
Amazing. Is anytime you can say good Monday in a sentence, like I feel like it's like we'll take what we can get. So that makes me very happy to hear. This is definitely making my Monday better, getting to sit down and kind of have this conversation. Really excited about this one. It's been a really fun kind of first half of the season so far, and we're kicking off the second half with something that's very near and dear to my heart, and I think conversation that has such potential to be so helpful for so many people. So I think it's going to be a really fun one. So before we get into all the nitty-gritty and all that sort of stuff, why don't you just tell everybody a little bit about yourself, kind of what you do and why I brought you on for this particular type of episode.
Awesome. Yeah, so I'm a social media manager at Sportsnet. Actually in my 11th NHL season on the Sportsnet social team now, which is crazy. So it's been kind of a fun journey to see how far social has come and since the time that I started. But I've been working as a content creator on our accounts. I do a lot of live event coverage, a lot of day-to-day sort of game coverage, a little less now. It's more kind of how I started. But I went to school at TMU for radio and television. I kind of had the idea in my head that I wanted to be on air. I wanted to be ringside reporter. And then just kind of as I was going through school and all that, social media was kind of growing and becoming a bigger thing, and was doing some internships during school and got some experience doing social. And then that's kind of how I broke into the industry, still thinking I wanted to be on air. And then now 11 seasons in, I'm pretty happy doing social stuff. So
what was it about social media that sort of, like you said, you were definitely in school at the right time for the rise of it? I'm sure, you know, even with your job that you've been at with Sportsnet for 11 seasons, the difference between the beginning and now, I'm sure, is just astronomically cool. But what was it about it that you sort of latched onto and clung to that you thought was really cool?
Yeah, I think for me, it was realizing just like the potential for it, like seeing how much it's growing every single year, new platforms are coming out, new ways of covering sports and telling stories and that kind of thing. And I really enjoyed the creative process of making social content. I think working for a sports network, I do get to see the television side of things as well as like the radio side of things. I work with our broadcasters a lot. I'm on our sets a lot, whether it's like at games or in our studios. And I think what I liked about social was maybe the like nitty gritty of it. Like it's not as polished as like a piece that's going on TV. It's not like suits and microphones. You can do it, you know, from your apartment, you can do it live on location. You can really do it from anywhere. As long as you have like a phone and like a little bit of maybe editing capability, you can kind of do it in your own way. So I found I was really attracted to just like the potential for it and how much it could grow, how much you could do with it. And that was kind of like what kept me in it, I think, was that every season so far has been so different. I'm not doing anything now that I was doing when I first started. And I always feel like I had maybe one of the first full-time social media jobs in our industry, because when I first started, anytime that we were working with someone from a team or another network or the league or something who was working on social, it was kind of a side job for them. They were doing it, you know, whether they were working in marketing or they were a writer or that kind of thing, social was like a side thing. Whereas for me, as soon as I started, it was like my number one focus. And so I feel like I was lucky getting into it when I did, because I had a lot of control over what I was doing and what I got to do on the day to day. And I kind of got to make some stuff up as I went, which was a lot of fun. I feel sometimes hesitant to like share how I got into the industry just because now with social being the size that it is and like even our team being the size that it is, like the way that I started is just not going to be the way that anyone starts anymore. So it was a little bit of a process of figuring things out as I went and a lot of seasons of just like posting articles to Twitter and that kind of stuff and like really using social media as a tool to drive, you know, to broadcast or drive to sportsnet.ca or whatever it was. And then just seeing how much it's grown now and how much fun we have making like social first content, getting really creative, getting to tell stories about the players that we're watching. It's grown a lot. It's a lot of fun.
That makes me so happy to hear it. It's so funny. I actually feel like you and I have like a little bit of a bit of an inverse sort of situation here where like I went to school for more like marketing, social sort of stuff, but I do a lot more like on camera things than I ever anticipated that I was going to. And I feel like we're kind of in a little like flip-flop opposite here. So that's really funny. I didn't even realize that. So that's really, really cool. When it comes to like your early stages at Sportsnet, like you said, I think that's really amazing. And I feel like such a fun conversation starter to be like, yeah, I might've been the first full-time social media manager in hockey in Canada, you know, like that's crazy. And that's so cool. And I think anyone who really likes working hard, anyone who really likes to be creative and stuff like that, having a role that allows you to, like you said, learn as you go and kind of figure it out is probably really exciting. Can you walk us through kind of what that first little while was like at Sportsnet and kind of what the job was? And you know, it's so hard to think about what social media was like, you know, even 3 years ago, 4 years ago, because you sort of just latch onto the now and assume you kind of have always had this knowledge of these social channels we all use. But that's just not the case. Talk a bit about kind of the early days at Sportsnet.
Yeah, it's funny. My job when I started, it was the first year that Rogers had the NHL rights. So I did in my fourth year at TMU, a social media internship with CBC Sports for the Olympics. So that was really fun. I was on the social team there covering Olympic hockey, snowboarding, like lots of cool stuff. And then when I was there as an intern, it was announced that Rogers had acquired the NHL rights. And so my boss at CBC joined Sportsnet. And he called me in the summer after I graduated and asked if I would come do social at Sportsnet. And my first day, they kind of just handed me the passwords and they were like, okay, so you know what you're doing, right? And I was like, definitely, for sure. I had no idea what I was doing. I honestly did not know what I was supposed to do, but I was working on the first season of Rogers Hometown Hockey. So that was my first experience sort of building a social strategy from the ground up and just kind of planning out the week, knowing our show was on Sundays and saying, here's how we're going to cover it on Twitter, on Facebook. You know, we would have features that were coming in from TV that needed to be posted, that kind of stuff, building the hype around the show, pushing to broadcast, all of that. So it was a full, pretty much full season of doing that. And then I would spend Saturday nights at our studio, sneaking onto the set for Hockey Night in Canada, just like taking pictures, trying to like post about that on Twitter. And then it was like clipping NHL highlights and putting them out there. And honestly, the clipping of highlights and posting them to Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all of that, like I did that for, I really just kind of stopped doing it this year. Like I did it for the first 10 years of my career. It was a lot of like the same thing, which is, it's fine, but you start to do it in a different way and you find new angles to come from, you know, TikTok comes out or YouTube shorts and you kind of find new platforms to work on and that kind of thing. But in the beginning, it was a lot of just Twitter, Facebook, pushing to broadcast, covering events when I could. I mean, I got to do like the NHL face-off party that they had at like Young Dundas Square and the Tragically Hip played that year, which was crazy. Covered a lot of Blue Jays. I did IndyCar. I did horse racing at one point. Like just like anything that I could go somewhere and just kind of represent Sportsnet and get some event coverage on the ground and like learn about a new sport, it was what I was doing. And then after a while, our team started to grow and we kind of got to each have a little bit more of a focus. So rather than doing a little bit of everything, we got to pick something that we were really passionate about and kind of move in that direction. So for me, the past few years, it's been really focusing on TikTok and our TikTok strategy and building up those accounts and our relationships there, as well as live event coverage and content creation. So it's come a long way.
Yeah, no, that's amazing. That's so funny. Mentioning the Tragically Hip playing at Young and Dundas Square. I literally could not come up with like a more Canadian sentence of that. That's so funny.
It was my second day. It was crazy.
Oh my gosh.
I was like, okay, I'll go to that. Sure. Yeah, and that's kind of
Are there any like other cool, like, amazing events that you've been able to attend kind of through your job, or amazing memories sort of like that, where it's like, obviously the Tragically Hip, so iconic, and for like second day, that's crazy. And I know you went to the Stanley Cup in Sunrise this year and stuff. So do you have any other like really cool, crazy, fun events or games or anything that it's like, we all watch this on TV, but you actually got to be there?
Yes, I do. I do. I've been so lucky. The biggest one of my career for sure is the Raptors championship. It was still to this day, like, it's so amazing to me that I got to be there. Like, it's crazy. But yeah, that whole season, it was our social team at the time was just two people. It was me and one other person, and we would kind of switch off like day shift and night shift. So I spent a lot of time working night shifts, and then my coworker at the time ended up leaving just before the season started. And I spent a lot of that season just like being the entire social team. I was like by myself. So I kind of got to cover that entire run from the very beginning, from when the trade was announced. And then when Kawhi and Danny Green had their opening press conference, and Kawhi said his like, I'm a fun guy, and did the laugh, and the home opener, DeMar DeRozan's return, and then the playoff run, which was just like crazy, because I've never, as a Toronto sports fan, I've never experienced a playoff run that just kept going the way that it did. Everything from the shot, which was iconic, and then them making the NBA finals was crazy. And so I just remember my manager telling me, like, we didn't really get to travel a lot. We would get to work the games in Toronto, but at the time, like, traveling to cover games was still pretty minimal from a social perspective. At the time, but he had said, like, you know, you've covered this whole run, so if the Raptors make the finals, we're going to send you on the road with the team to cover the games in California. And so, yeah, it was amazing. And I just remember coming home for game five, because they could have won game five at home, which we were planning. And I remember being in the press box, having the graphics, like everything ready to go, and they lost by 1 point. And we were all looking at each other like, oh my gosh, we have to go back to Cali now. And yeah, being there was incredible. Like in the locker room, soaked with champagne, and just like seeing the celebration of that team after the season that they had, it was like such a dream come true.
That I'm not even a huge like basketball fan, but that's genuinely that series is one of my favorite like sports memories, because I'm a casual Raptors fan. That's how good the energy was. And like you said, like being there for the shot, I'm sorry, like I would never shut up about that if that was me. Like literally I'd make it my whole personality. Yeah. That's amazing.
It's so funny, I have my credential from that game framed on my wall. Like it's I think it was just like that Raptors team was so likable. They were so much fun. Like having a player like Kawhi in Toronto was so incredible. And I'm the same, like I'm more of a hockey person, but I learned so much that season. And then to have it finish in a championship was just like so such an incredible memory.
It's the dream, the absolute dream. But so you did mention that you're also like a little bit more of a hockey person. Right now, would you say that most of your job does focus on the hockey aspect at Sportsnet?
Yeah, so because our team has grown so much, I think one thing that I really appreciate about like my bosses now is they really encourage us to specialize and to focus on what we're really good at. I mean, obviously they want us all to be very well-rounded in our sports knowledge, because we need to be able to cover everything. But in terms of like event coverage or content creation, that kind of thing, like my main focus is hockey. It is my passion, the NHL specifically. I grew up watching NHL hockey all the time. I come from a hockey family. So yeah, it's generally where my focus is. And then during the off season, I'll do a little bit more. This summer, I got to do some tennis stuff, which was really cool. We'll do Blue Jays when the Blue Jays start up. But yeah, for the most part, hockey.
Awesome. I've definitely seen, I love, for maybe a bit of a spoiler alert for what we're going to get into when we start talking a bit more about kind of the job components and stuff. But Kaylee's one of my favorite follows on TikTok, because I love, love, love seeing the behind the scenes stuff of kind of what you do. And, you know, all these videos, again, that we see the final product on our television screens on the Sportsnet broadcast. You know, I also get to see the iPhone camera footage from behind the camera of, you know, the players kind of loosening up a little bit and stuff like that, which is really cool. So why don't you talk about some of the content that you make for Sportsnet, specifically in the world of hockey?
Yeah, I think that is, thank you, I appreciate that, by the way. And I think that is our goal when we do go to these events and cover them, is being an extra set of eyes on the ground and like really an extra camera angle on the ground, just knowing that for us, like obviously we work for a television network, and so we want people to watch the broadcast. But knowing this younger generation, they're really consuming sports media on social media. They're consuming it in little tiny clips on TikTok or Instagram, that kind of thing. And so trying to find these moments that just show another angle that you're not going to get on TV. And again, like, TV is such a different beast than social, and it is so polished, and like the work that goes into putting together like a game package is incredible. And so with social, we have a little bit, I think, more freedom to kind of just like, we're literally running around just with our phones out trying to see what we can get. And I think these days the players are really good about it. I think that they know what social people are trying to accomplish, which is just, you know, giving the fans, we call it extra access. So it's just trying to give you a little bit more behind the scenes, like a little bit more of your favorite players that you're not going to get, you know, from a commercial break or in warmups, that kind of thing. So that's like one thing that I think I started it in 2018 as the rights holders were allowed to show warmups, which it's anyways, I won't get into the rights of it, but basically I can live stream warmups. So I asked my bosses if I could go to the Stanley Cup final to live stream warmups on TikTok, and we've had so much fun with it. And so this year I was super lucky to get to do all 7 games of the Stanley Cup final. And so that was like my one goal. I was like, as long as I'm live streaming Oilers warmups before every game, like I wanted it to be a consistent series. And watching the way that it grew over the 7 games, and like people were starting to like look forward to it and tell us that they were going to be tuning in, and like seeing people watching over and over again, and it turned into this big community, which I think is so much fun. And just showing like what you wouldn't see on TV, the way that, you know, Evan Bouchard clears out the pucks from Stuart Skinner's net, or the way that Connor McDavid warms up in the corners, or Leon Draisaitl takes shots from the goal line, like that kind of thing. It's like these players have these sort of routines that they do before every game that if you don't get to be in the building or you're not seeing it on TV, you might not know about it. And so I think that's always our goal when we're going to these events, is what else can we give hockey fans? Like, that's kind of our goal, right? Is just like giving them as much as possible. I know who their favorite players are. If I see Quinn Hughes, I'm going to, you know, get you a clip of Quinn Hughes, like that kind of thing. It's like, we know who they want. And so with social, as we do have that freedom, we can go and get that content and give it to hockey fans and hopefully make someone happy. So
I really like that sort of mantra of like, what else, right? I think that's such a good way to look at it. And I think it's so cool that that's what you sort of tried to embody and very successfully have done so. But I don't know, I'm going to maybe not go on a tangent here for a second, but when it comes to social, I get a little bit, I don't know, I get a little bit defensive. And I think a good comparison actually is hockey, in the sense of, you know, sometimes someone will be like, well, I played minor hockey, so therefore I know. And it's like, that doesn't necessarily make you an expert. And social is something that, you know, people consume and create on in their personal context, and therefore sometimes devalue, you know, and I say this as a marketing professional, who it bothers me when people are like, well, I use Instagram, so like I could do what you do for work. And it's like, maybe, but there is a lot more that goes into it. You know, you sometimes kind of try and sit still, look pretty with that. And, you know, you don't necessarily want to get into an argument all the time. But like, let's be real, like it is a profession that, you know, you can't just walk in and do because you also have an Instagram account yourself. That's not how that works, right? So I think the flip side of that, though, is that you can learn some things without necessarily getting a degree or whatever like that. But let's be real, part of the reason that your personal TikTok account is probably more successful than some other people's is because you have experience managing it from the brand level and know the kind of ins and outs, what works, what doesn't, all those sorts of things, right? So what I want to talk a little bit about today is just that, you know, I am a semi-success story of the concept of creating your own personal content, creating your own personal brand, and opening up opportunities for yourself, maybe a little bit more unconventionally, because in the age of social, you can do that, right? And I think that's why I want to talk to you, is we can sit down and talk about how you can leverage social to sort of grow into opportunities without maybe following the exact online job application or things like that in the more kind of conventional way. But I mean, before we start, I saw some facial expressions. You're kind of on the same page with me in terms of, you know, people's thought that they have a level of expertise in social creation because they consume it.
Yes, 100%. And I think the comment of like, oh, I should do that, it's like, okay, well, like we get that all the time. And it's like, okay, do it then. Like, I don't know what, I never know how to respond to that, but especially the earlier years of my career where it would be like me and five cameramen, you know, all trying to get the same shot, and they're like elbowing me out of the way kind of thing. Or like they would ask what I do and I would say social media, and they're like, oh, I think social media is ruining our industry. Like it is one of those things where people, I find, maybe don't give it the respect that I think it deserves. And I think it's because of maybe the casualness of it, or the how so many people can access it and become content creators. Yeah, you're right, without having to go to school for it or have a certain degree or that kind of thing. But you can be good at it, and you can also not be good at it. And I think over the years, we've seen like people who blow up and do things that are so successful, and they're doing it really well. But it all comes down to like authenticity, I think. I think where we see people or brands or leagues or whoever it is struggle is when they're trying to make it something that it doesn't need to be. So they're trying to take their social accounts and just make it a repeat of what's happening on broadcast, instead of really diving into like, what is social media for? Who is it serving? And what kind of content does well on it? So it's hard to say like how to be good at it, because I think what makes someone good at it is just trying new things. And sometimes it goes well and sometimes it doesn't. But I think that is like a big thing, is like the people who blow up one season, it's because they really leaned into social and like what it has the potential to be, and they just kind of went for something and maybe it paid off.
For sure. And it's the same thing as the whole like, oh, the intern kind of cooked with this graphic, and it's like, that person actually has 2 degrees, but I mean, whatever, it's fine. But when it comes to, you know, like you said, you know, how to be good at it and that sort of stuff, it gives colors of, you know, your boss saying, make a viral video, right? And it's like, okay, yeah. Like, let's be careful. But I mean, there's a nice sweet spot between virality is random, but also following methodical steps and, you know, making deliberate decisions to make good content. I think it's super, super important for people to operate under the guise when they're making, you know, personal content, brand content, that this could be the post that gets you your millions and millions of views, right? You want to be proud of everything you put out and everything like that. Have you found any particular, I don't know if I want to say patterns or anything like that, of content that you see tends to respond really well on something particularly like TikTok, whether it's from your own personal account, from the brand account? What sorts of content do you find has been really performing?
I think it's the stuff that shows like kind of the human side of athletes. I think especially with hockey, we know players to be pretty buttoned up, pretty, you know, very well media trained. They kind of stick to the script and they have their hockey cliches that they say. And so when we have like the media days that we get to work on, and we spend a lot of time brainstorming content, and it is that same thing of, we're not trying to force a viral moment, but it's like, what can we do that's fun, that the player's not going to hate and the fans are going to enjoy? And I think that is like finding that sweet spot of like, the players are, it's simple enough, the players will go along with this and they'll have some fun with it and we can make some fun content out of it. But it's also not too polished that the fans are going to be like, well, this is boring, why am I watching this? So we try to find stuff that shows, yeah, their personality a little bit more, but nothing that's going to make them feel stupid. Like, we're trying to make fun of them or make them feel stupid. So we had a video that went out that I thought it was so fun just watching it back. I wasn't in the room when they were shooting it, but we just asked players what their last Google search was, which is like such a simple question. And they were just like so funny about it. And some of the answers were just like hilarious. And so that kind of stuff, like, fans just, it's about the players. Like, fans just want to see as much of their favorite players as they possibly can. So even the stuff where it's not like a set up media day, but I just get to be on the ground, it's like, I know the players to watch out for, because I really know our audience. And same, not just me, but everyone on our team, like, we have gotten to know our audience so well that we know what they want to see. So we know, especially working in TikTok, like, the fans want to see Jack Hughes, Quinn Hughes, Connor Bedard. Like, you know, social media, they're so young, right? I'm in my 30s. So for me, I'm like, I want to see like Sidney Crosby and Marc-Andre Fleury and Alex Ovechkin. But I know that like this next generation of fans, like, they really want to see these young guys, and they want to see, you know, their processes. And like, never doubt a hockey fan's knowledge, like their knowledge of like the teeny tiny aspects of things, where it's like, they know what stick Connor Bedard's using. They want to know what flex he has, like all this stuff. So it's really just like anything to kind of get to know the players a little bit better. We know that that's going to resonate really well with our audience, and anything that shows them kind of just like having a good time and letting loose a little bit, whether it's stuff that we're asking them or it's just them interacting, you know, playing soccer before a game, that kind of thing. That's the kind of stuff that I think does really well.
Yeah, I think finding that intersection is so important. I know from speaking with people who work in social, there's certain, you know, I've heard that the players really enjoy, okay, Super Bowl prediction videos and stuff like that, because it's so easy. But then when it gets a little bit, if you cross a line of too personal, or like you said, I think the embarrassment part is a really good one to sort of bring up, because these guys, like, that's not what they want, right? Like, anything that's kind of heckling them, right? Like, that's not, and you don't want to upset them either, right? And if you're the team's PR person, you don't want your players to get in a position where they're being upset. Like, I can only imagine kind of going through the hoops and stuff like that. Have you found any particular, like, not tips and tricks, because we're not trying to pull the wool over anyone's eyes, but like with players that are a little bit less inclined to open up, kind of, have you found any ways to sort of get them warmed up to social content and get them to be more, a little bit more receptive to it?
Yes and no. I think what we really work on is like building that trust. So if a player is straight up saying they don't want to do something, like, we always have a backup idea that we can do instead that's a little bit more up their alley, just because it's not just like us on the social team, right? Like, we're representing the network as a whole, whether it's insiders, like the writers, like our bosses, like that kind of thing too. So the whole point is to have fun. So like, we never try to push them into anything, but it's more like, if you're asking them like a fun question, you can say like, oh, like your teammate said this, or they said this, and then they'll kind of play off of that a little bit. Anytime you can get two players in the same room, that's always great, because they're always more comfortable when they're together versus being one person in a room full of strangers. But yeah, I think it really goes to just building that trust, making sure they feel comfortable. And as soon as they seem to maybe not want to do something, or they're not comfortable, like, we just don't push it. We'll move on to a different subject. You tend to know right away if a guy is going to think this is fun and have some fun with it, or if, you know, maybe you just keep it about hockey or something like that.
When it comes to all the different social medias and stuff like that, like, obviously you said, you know your audience super well, but you also need to continue to learn about the different trends and all these sorts of things. Like, continuous learning is obviously so important. Do you find there are particular content types or particular just different details that you try and cling to with different social media platforms, just based on how they perform across different networks?
100%. So we actually have we call it a playbook. So we have like kind of our overarching social strategy, just like who we are as a brand, how we want to come across on social, like how our accounts should represent the brand. And then we go further into detail for each platform, and we break it down platform by platform, just looking at who the audience is, because the audiences are different on every platform. And then having a strategy for each one to reach those different audiences, because something that performs well on TikTok, that is a TikTok trend that started with, you know, Gen Z or even younger, is not going to perform the same way or come off the same way or resonate the same way with our audience on Facebook Reels or YouTube Shorts. Or, you know, we do find with X, you can get a little bit more inside hockey. So you can talk to that audience a little bit more as if they are like your friend and you are just like having an in-depth hockey discussion. You can talk about the second line defense, that kind of thing. But on TikTok, that's not going to go over as well, because we know the audience on TikTok is, generally speaking, they're more casual hockey fans who might not know, you know, the sort of like inside terminology, as you would know. But, you know, they love the game, they love the players, but maybe they don't, they know the game as in depth. So we generally change, I would say, the way that we're speaking to people, or the way that we present different types of content on different platforms.
I want to pivot this conversation a little bit more towards, you know, the different components of working with socials and learning from socials and all those sorts of things, because it is such a powerful tool. Like, that cannot be understated, how much you can grow with social, how much exposure you can get through social and everything. And that transcends into personal creators as well, right? So we know of lots of different social media influencers in hockey and stuff like that, people who have built up personal brands through social. Obviously, there are some people who work in hockey that, you know, become well known because they are a broadcaster or an ex-player or an ex-coach or something, and then they kind of develop a residual social media following, and sometimes some take off more than others, of course, but some people are solely, you know, organic, social founded, basically, people in hockey and stuff like that. And obviously, you know so much about the marketing in the social space as well as the hockey space. So I kind of want to dive into any pointers or tips or ideas and stuff like that that you can share with people who are maybe looking to build a little bit of their own content specifically about hockey.
Yeah, I would say that a big thing now is like finding this is such a cliche thing to suggest, but like finding your niche and like really running with it. And I would say, like, again, I think we see a lot of people find success as content creators just like by being authentic and like by being themselves. And like, honestly, one of my biggest pieces of advice for people, and this sounds silly maybe, but like, you really have to get to know yourself first before I think you can start putting content out there, because so much of social media these days is people telling you what to watch, what to wear, you know, what your interests should be, like that kind of thing. I think it's easy to fall into the trap of just making the same content that everybody else is making. I would say that, like, sit down, write a list of all the things you love, and then think, like, what kind of social content can I make out of this? Because I think it's like, we don't need, you know, four of the same content creators. We need people who are doing different things. So I think it's okay to have an idea of someone whose content you admire and thinking, I'd like to do something similar to that. But you got to find a personal twist that you can put on it to make it your own, because generally speaking, a company is not going to hire you to create the same content that they're already employing somebody else to make. So if you are looking to, whether it's join a league or a team or a network as a content creator, what can you bring to the table that they don't have? Like, what kind of gap can you fill? And I know just from the other side of it, having sat in on so many interviews, like as we've grown our social team, like that is a big thing that we look for, is like, who's doing something that we aren't already doing? Like, how are they making our team stronger by what they're working on, or like the knowledge that they bring to the table? So I would say, like, finding a niche or a gap or like your interests and like kind of working on that is such an important thing, because at the end of the day, like, you are going to make that team that you're joining stronger. I think it's, again, like, if you want to be a content creator, it's like fighting through the cringe, right? Like, it's going to feel so embarrassing at first. And, you know, you're going to know, you know, what people are saying about your content or like whatever it is. But if you really want to do it and it's authentic to you and it's something that you enjoy doing, like, just starting is a good thing. And that is like when I started putting myself out there for the company I work for, but putting my face in the videos and that kind of thing. It was like, I was so nervous about it, because for so long we weren't allowed to do that. It was always just like, we have on-air talent, we had to use them, until, you know, as it grew, it was kind of like, they're two different strengths, right? Creating social media content versus being a TV presenter is like two totally different things. So having bosses who told me, they're like, you know what you're doing, you know what you're talking about, like, just start. I think as a content creator, you're not going to get your start on an account that already has a million plus followers. So that's the beautiful thing about social media, is you can start your own accounts and you can do it on your own and get those reps. And if it's something that you're really passionate about, you don't need to be like an Alex Earle level content creator to get hired. It's like, as long as you're showing, like, here's what I'm working with, here's how I'm starting, that's what people look at and they're like, okay, we can work with this, or yeah, we'd like more of this. And like, then we can help you. Like, companies have resources. They can help grow you. They can help, you know, build your confidence and work on different things with you. But you got to start, which is always like the hardest part, is like starting. And it's, it's definitely, I totally understand, it's so hard to put yourself out there. And there are days where you're just like, I can't, like, I just cannot have a video that only gets 3 likes again. Like, it's so embarrassing, but you got to push through that. It's tough. And I do think we are kind of entering a time period of the micro content creator, like people who have maybe a smaller audience, but who's more engaged, you know, and they're just like posting more consistently and like being a little bit more active, and they're getting comments and they're building their own little community. That is a lot more valuable than just, you know, a content creator that's so large, they're just throwing stuff out there kind of thing.
No, for sure. I think there are so many good nuggets in that response of different things that people can cling to. Maybe in a more negative aspect. I don't know. Is there anything in particular that you would just advise, like, don't do this if people are looking to kind of build their social media portfolio or, yeah, get a job or create their own content?
I am done with the snarky internet brand accounts. Like, I'm just like so over that. I don't think it really adds any value to the social media space. I think social media is hard enough. It is honestly, I mean, I'm not saying this in a like complaining way, but it's hard to put yourself out there sometimes and to just, you feel like you're just receiving negative feedback. And like, you know, sometimes it gives you something to think about. Sometimes it just hurts your feelings. But I would say from a brand level, I'm over the like fake snarky rivalry, that kind of stuff. I just think it's like, it should be a space. Like, we cover sports, right? It should be fun. I think it's just like, I would love to see a little bit more positivity. And like, I would say people also have to remember their digital footprint as well. If it's coming from like personal accounts as well, because, you know, people see, people remember. So
when it comes to like your personal, so you've made some personal content as well. What is kind of the main difference you find between, obviously it's different when you're working for a brand, you're following their brand voice, their brand guidelines and all that sort of stuff. But what sorts of things do you kind of keep in the back of your mind when creating social for personal content as well as branded content, and kind of the main difference in the way you kind of keep consistently being your authentic self? It is a bit easier because you're not following brand guidelines, you're following, you know, you. But differences between the two different types of content.
Yeah, that's a great question. I have found getting to move into more of a content creator role in the last few years, but still also being like a community manager for Sportsnet, finding that balance has been tough, because sometimes it's like, oh, this would be great on my personal account. But I have to remember, like, when I'm on the ground at these games, I'm there for Sportsnet. I'm being sent to create content for Sportsnet. So first and foremost, like, everything that I get goes to Sportsnet first. I make all my content for my job. And then I kind of get to work on personal content, like, in my time off kind of thing. So sometimes it'll be like, I still now have stuff that I got at the Stanley Cup final, and it's almost a year later kind of thing. So it's a little slower, I would say, making content for myself. I think with my personal accounts, I get to lean into a little bit more of my other interests, because I do obviously have a lot of hobbies and interests outside of hockey. And I try to post that as well, just to show a little bit more of like who I am. I think if you're going to be working with brands potentially or on brand deals, it's good to show, yeah, just like what else you're interested in besides like your one specific sport. It can just open a lot of doors. And really, I find my personal accounts, I don't care how anything performs. Like, I am just posting it because I want to, and I don't care if it gets 3,000 likes or 10 likes or whatever it may be. And I think that maybe has helped me feel a little bit more free to just post whatever. I'll just literally shoot something in the moment and it's 8 seconds, and I just put some text on it and throw it up. And I find I think about it a little or a lot less, I guess, because I don't have to follow any sort of guidelines. Obviously, I still have to represent. Everyone who follows me, I guess, would know I work for Sportsnet because it's what I talk about. So still trying to represent the brand well. But yeah, I would say getting to have a little bit more personality and like just be a little bit more casual with what I'm posting is like, I'll just throw some photos up there that I wouldn't, you know, you would put a little bit more thought or a little bit more effort into something that's going on the brand account. But sometimes for my personal account, I'm like, well, I took these 4 photos, so I'll just toss them up there.
I feel like we've talked so much about so many different little ways to pick up on tips and pointers and stuff like that to try and build the best content that you possibly can. But sometimes we also need just kind of like straight up points on hard skills and things you can learn, courses you can take and stuff like that. Are there any particular tips you have for, you know, if someone is looking for a starting block right now, like what different maybe software programs or anything like that they can learn or become more proficient in to become more qualified to make better content?
Yeah, I think I'm always a big fan of just learn your platforms. They all have their own kind of in-app editing features. And I think to really grow your knowledge of a platform and how to create content for that platform, use the features that they give you. They want you to use them. Generally, it's going to be probably like And it depends on like what kind of content you're making. I'm a big fan of like minimal editing. I'm not adding a lot to my content. I'm generally just like, you know, maybe I'll speed up a clip or slow it down using voiceover, you know, cropping out different lengths of clips, that kind of thing. So for me, just to keep my content pretty straightforward, I love in-app editing features. And I think it's like the best way to learn your platform and how to create content for that specific platform. Personally, like Canva and Photoshop are the next two that I would use when I need something that's like a little bit more. But otherwise, like I keep things pretty simple. Like even photo editing, I've been really trying to talk myself out of over-editing my photos, over-editing my videos, that kind of thing, and just keeping everything pretty looking like I shot it directly on my phone and uploaded it from my camera roll. That's just the kind of content I prefer to watch. I prefer to consume as well. So those are really what I use. If I'm going to get any fancier, it's Photoshop and Canva, but for the most part, in-app editing.
I feel like that bleeds into kind of the earlier point that you made about authenticity, right? And it is something that you hear frequently enough, but I think, you know, if you came on here and said, actually, what every other person in the world who is an expert in social media is saying is wrong, well, you know, who knows? So there is a little bit of, you know, maybe it's not the first time someone's heard about authenticity, but the more you hear it, the more it's just, that's how true it is. And if you want to talk about getting to know the players, like you said, on a platform like TikTok, where consumers tend to enjoy consuming the content the most that has, you know, the behind the scenes of, like you said, the Jack Hughes and the Conor Bedards of the world, if you over edit all of this stuff, like I feel like it removes that element of personal, you know, connection that comes from, like you said, it was an iPhone that filmed this and, you know, this person was just talking to a person, which I think is so important.
I think it comes down to personal style as well, which I think is a really big discussion on TikTok lately, is just like leaning into what you like and what you want to see. And honestly, like what your personal style is. We have editors on our team who will take videos and they'll add like memes and that kind of stuff to it. And it's so good and it's so funny, and like it does add a little bit extra to the videos that we're putting out, and like fun little details like that, and it's so good. And it's like when I watch them, I know whose work I'm watching just because I know them and I know that that's their personal style. So I always, when I'm creating content, I really do try to keep it just to what my personal style is, because it's another thing too, just give you an example, like when we are uploading TikTok, like our, you know, NHL highlights as TikToks on the Sportsnet account kind of thing, we're always using the same fonts, the same look, because we want, when you're scrolling, for it to be like, oh, this is a Sportsnet video. So the best way to have people recognize like what you're doing as yours and your style is to keep it pretty consistent and find something that you like and something that works for you and kind of stick with it. Obviously evolving over time, but for the most part, it's like you want someone to see something and be like, oh, that's so you.
No, for sure. It's completely connected, all this consistency, authenticity, like making yourself an identity, making your brand an identity. That's how it's going to grow. So I think that's great advice and kind of bleeds into my, unfortunately, last sort of question for this particular episode, which is just, this is a kind of a common theme that runs through all the episodes in this particular season is, you know, if people had to walk away from this particular episode with one maybe piece of advice or a key takeaway for them to kind of go out into the world and maybe start making better content, start making more meaningful content, what would you recommend that they do, or something to embody, something to work on?
That is a great question. I think something that I always want to get across to people when they tell me that they want to work in sports is some of the best advice that I was given as I was coming up and meeting people in the industry and working with people was just like, you want to be someone, one, that's easy to work with, because everything that we do is a team effort. Like I really these days, like, don't do anything by myself. I know I always say when I started, it was like that, but we really do everything as a team. And so team fit, one, is the most important thing. And I think that's, if I can encourage people to work on anything, it's, you know, work on your people skills and being a team player and, you know, networking, you know, just to meet people and get to know people that you admire and that kind of thing. Because at the end of the day, everything that you're going to do is going to be part of a team and you're representing a much larger brand identity than just your own. So I think that's like a really important thing. And it's also being easy to work with or being good to work with. You don't have to come in and know everything right off the bat. Your job when you get hired to do a job is to learn. And it's, you know, maybe your boss's job or your teammate's job to help you learn and to help you know, teach you. So don't feel like you need to come in and be an expert right away. Be open to learning, be adaptable, you know, maybe cover a sport that you've never covered before. Be willing to listen to feedback, I think, is something that's so important, because it's never supposed to be an attack. It's always supposed to just help everyone improve and, you know, give you something to think about. And I think those are the things that I try to keep in mind, just like as the years go on in this job. Everything is changing all the time. We never know what is happening in this like social media landscape. So I think that's the most important thing, is like being a good team player, being open to learning, being adaptable, and, you know, just making sure that when you walk in the room, it's like, oh, this is going to be like a really new, I'm either going to learn something, I'm going to have like a really good time. Sorry, that was a really stupid sentence, but I think at the end of the day, when you're walking into, you know, an experience that you've never either covered a game at that level, or you're not really sure like what the outcome's going to be, because in sports, you never know, just go into it like with an open mind, and it's going to be a learning experience, and you guys are all going to get through it together.
I think this has been super valuable, and I think it should be exciting for people who are listening, who are maybe looking to break into the industry, or they want to create content that, you know, people who are longtime employees of the industry and work for companies as, you know, huge as Sportsnet, like, we're excited about the future of content creation and looking for new ideas and fresh perspectives at all times. So never give up and keep kind of doing you, but doing you with an asterisk and making sure that you're making that meaningful content that you're proud to associate yourself with. So thank you, Kaylee, so much for joining me on this episode. This has been so much fun. I so appreciate you taking the time to come join us for episode 6 here.
Thanks for having me.
Make sure, folks, when you're heading out, you give everything a like, a subscribe, a follow, and all that fun stuff. And we will see you back here for episode 7.